Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, and this is the Round 5 preview. We went 3-2 last week. For the first time this season, I actually added an extra best bet after the pod, and it was also the first time this season I had more than one play on the same match, and in fact, that went 0-2. Both those plays involved the Brisbane Broncos on Friday night. If you only follow the tips from this preview show each week, congratulations, because you missed that losing tip. But just a reminder to be aware, I do always do a final scan for extra best bets or any extra available best bets on a Friday if I believe there's any good opportunities that pop up, and those get posted on the Tripod Facebook page, group, app, Instagram, everything like that. So I covered that loss and all the happenings of round four and all the results. Thankfully, the rest of the best bets in the other three games I had last week all won, and so did the mixed matchup. The Roosters outscored the Knights 32-13, so that's a 19-point win. We got $2.50 odds, but you don't care too much about round four. You want to hear the best bets for round five, and I'm going to get straight into them as I do every week. All the best bets in the first 5 minutes, and I have five best bets for round five across four games. Let's kick it off with the Friday game, where I've got a best bet, or two, in fact, on Manly. So I'm taking Manly plus 7.5, $2 odds on Ladbrokes and Neds. The next best is $1.95 on Unibet. And I'm taking the New Zealand Warriors team total under 24.5. It's $1.85 on Bet365. It's 1 cent lower on Sportsbet. Now, don't get me wrong, Manly are a bad team, but if you do look back on their first month of footy, they have had to play the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, and the Panthers, plus an away game to the Dragons side, which I guess we have to admit was a little bit better than people realised at the time. I understand that Turbo is not back, but you know, the Warriors have some key outs as well. They lost Aitken very early in the year, then they lost Harris Tavita. Now Sirinen's out, Bunty Afoa, and the big one, Adam Fanua-Blake, won't be there to torment his former club. Manly comes into this game, so it's the early Friday game. Manly didn't play since last Thursday. That's an 8-day prep, while New Zealand is off a short prep playing Sunday night and then rolling into an early Friday game. And I don't think New Zealand is that much better. I'm certain that that Manly has to be desperate, so I'm going to take them plus the start, 7.5 at every bookie. And when I think a team's going to be desperate, I don't know if they'll win, but I think they go close. I'll take New Zealand to score under 24.5 points as a second best bet. My next best bet, a bit of a different one, moves to Saturday, Titans Knights, and I'm taking no try before 7 minute 30 mark at $1.90 on Bet365. This is under the score tab. The next best you can play, no try first 8 minutes. It's on every bookie. And it's this bet basically is usually around a 50-50 when it's set at the 8 minute mark across all the bookies, across all games. I steer away from it, especially in any games I think going to be high scoring, and I've barely given out a best bet on this type of market for, I think, maybe 18 months since the new rules have come in and there are more tries and less teams going for two. Typically don't want to play a market like this because I know it is a bit of a lottery. But here's the thing, we've got both teams coming into this 2-2. They sit 9th and 10th. I believe the Knights and Titans should both be top 8 sides by the end of the year. I believe they're both above average defensively. They've both had a lot of errors in recent weeks, and they've got no continuity in their halves. They've both had injuries to their halves and reshuffles. They've each only got one weapon that scares me, Brimson for the Titans. Ponga, yes, he's back for the Knights, but those guys are more dangerous the longer the game goes on as players get tired. I really think both sides are going to start out very conservative. Of course, again, a bet like this, if you want to jump on, I'm warning you now, it's going to be stressful, but you got to sweat 7.5 minutes for there to be no try. I even think if an opportunity presented itself, there's a chance a team like the Knights could take the early two. They know they're going to have to come in and gut this one out if there's any chance. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this game, whether the Knights can hang in there with the injuries they've got, but I'm expecting a tough start, so I'm willing to roll the dice with this no-try first 7.5 minutes, $1.90. Next best bet is on the Bulldogs Storm game with a historically high line, which I'm not going near, but what I am taking as a best bet is the Bulldogs over 0.5 points in the first half at $2.10, so a nice plus money bet. That's on Bet365 under the first half market. So simply, we've got a team in the Bulldogs that have not scored a point for 244 minutes, And I'm going to bet that they will score at least 1 point in the first half against the reigning premiers, the Storm. I think the fact that the Dogs come into this game with absolutely nothing to lose, you know, they've hit rock bottom essentially. No one gives them any hope in this game, actually means they shouldn't be shy. They shouldn't be afraid to throw that extra pass. They shouldn't be afraid to try and push an offload. And look, it doesn't matter how good defensively you are. So this is not about me knocking the Storm. I know I've been against them the last few weeks and been right more often than I was wrong, but got taught a lesson backing against the Storm last week. But the point is, any NRL team can score in any half. It's really hard to keep a team scoreless for a half, and that's even this Dogs team that's really bad. Plus, they get a few important players back with Tenny Zalesniak, Luke Thompson, Josh Jackson, and Jake Averillo are all back in this team. And they can even score a point or score a try off a deflected kick or a bomb, or maybe if they get a penalty, they would take the two, anything to chew up clock against this Storm side. So again, it's a bet that some people are not going to want any part of, but I'm willing to bet the Bulldogs to score, break their drought in the first half against the Storm. And finally, I'm back in the Eels in the Sunday night game. Best bet, -9.5, available on every bookie, but best price I could find, $1.91 on Bet365 and Unibet. And look, I think simply that the Dragons are coming into this round overrated. Yeah, they're 3-1 and they've been impressive, and I was on them last week against the Knights. But like, the three wins, you beat the Cowboys, you beat the Seagulls, and you beat a really depleted Newcastle where a lot of things went their way. It masks the fact that they lost their captain, Ben Hunt. That is a loss. Don't forget they lost their previous captain, McInnes, in the preseason. Little bit of a revenge spot here. The Dragons did upset the Eels late last year, which was a bit unexpected. And basically, I think this is a game where Parramatta could really flex their muscles. And, you know, they could have easily beaten West by a big score last week, I think, if Fergo doesn't drop multiple bombs and kind of let the Tigers back into the game. Plus, their full strength with Madison coming back. They're at home at Wankbest Stadium. I think they're just going to be comfortably too good for the Dragons. And with a line under 10, I don't mind playing that. Even in the post-match interview, I picked up a little nugget that Gutho referenced how that late try helps their for and against. So the fact they're conscious of that, and even in the final minute when they're up 8, a lot of teams will just kill the ball. They were trying to score a try. I know that's not how they got the try. They got the try in brutal fashion for anyone catching the points with the Tigers. But it's a mentality thing. When you're taking a favourite laying a large number, you want them to be trying to extend a lead and actually be trying to run up the score. I think the Eels could do this even if Dragons play them tight for 60 minutes. So those are my best bets, guys. And it has been 4 out of 4 weeks so far this season with a winning record on the best bets. Overall, 11-6, which is 65%, I believe. Mixed matchups, 2-2. Two close losses and two blowout wins, if you ask me. But you're in profit if you played that every week. Now, people have been asking me questions like, how many units are you up, or how many units have you won in past seasons? And honestly, don't get me started on units. So I've done a Punting 101 video on units. The thing is that they are quite easy to manipulate when you start playing with your unit sizes. As a tipster, you know, you guys have seen it all across Facebook groups or the internet, tipping 1 unit, 2, 3, but some others tip 5, 10, and then other people are tipping 20, 40, 80 units. They're saying split your bankroll into 1,000 units. And look, I understand you guys want to compare my results, track the results, and that's all good, and I try and be as transparent as I can be. But it's like, if someone wants to say that their results are a lot better than the tripod, then of course they'll tell you that our best bets are like a 1 unit bet each, and then they'll compare that to how many units their tips are up. Whereas if I wanted to make the pod sound really good, I could tell you every best bet is a 25 unit bet. And the truth is, guys, I'm not a tipping service, and I will actually make that really clear, because last Thursday on April 1st, I did put up a little joke about starting pod premium, which kind of backfired because RIP my inbox, and even to this day, I'm getting messages from people who want more information and want to know how much it is to join. And while I'm flattered and everything like that, and I appreciate it, I can assure you guys it was April Fool's. The pod is always free. I really believe in the work that I do each week, and I want to be able to share that with the maximum number of people each week. I'm going to be able to achieve that by keeping it free, and that's how we're going to be able to continue to grow the pod and the community, and hopefully a community of better bettors. So I'm getting back to the point on units. I don't tell you guys units because I don't want to actually tell you guys what to do with your money. I keep a record, sure, because I want to be accountable for the tips I give out, but the record is not, you know, like I'm keeping a $100 example bet tally of every best bet. which, as you guys know, are like generally 50-50 markets. I checked the average winning price so far this season is $1.92. We've benefited from some nice $2 lines there. But that would never be odds on a best bet lower than $1.80. The mixed matchup, those odds can vary anywhere from $2 to $4 each week, and I'll have one per week for the next, you know, 25-odd weeks, getting us all the way through to the finals. But I do think that the mixed matchup bets are an equivalent edge or equivalent value to the best bets. So I'll keep a record that you would have seen the last couple of weeks. If you had $100 on every best bet and every mixed matchup, how much you'd be up or down. And as it happens, you're up $460-odd so far this season. But that is not an advised stake. I just want to make that clear. To some people watching, that's not going to be that much per bet. And to others, that's going to be way too much to have per bet. So it's just a round number to give you an idea if the tips are value. But ultimately, my best advice is you decide for yourself which ones you like. Just back the ones you agree with, or use my tips to help you decide how confident you are with your own picks. You might do better overall than I do for the season. Just before we get into the games, one other point I want to make is about the golf in the competition, because it's been so topical. They hadn't had an average winning margin across a round of footy, I believe, for 17 years, as high as it was in round four, the number of blowouts. And again, we have a round of footy with not one line under 6.5, which is kind of disappointing for a neutral fan that wants to see some close footy games. Now, I think a couple still will be close, but it is kind of unprecedented times, and a lot of people are saying, you know, putting up their reasons or speculating on why this is caused. And I will just say, like, you know, look at teams that are going all right at the moment, the Eels, the Knights, the Warriors, the Titans. If you cast your mind back 5 or 10 years, those sides were punching bags, and those sides were all, you know, like, in and around the spoon and really bad. And you go back 5 or 10 years, Brisbane, North Queensland, Manly, Canterbury were all playing in grand finals. And now those sides are kind of the punching bags of the competition. So my overall point from my perspective is it's a 16-team competition, and not everyone can be top six every year. And we don't need to try and figure out what's gone wrong with the teams that are nowhere near the six, because, yeah, you can look at any one club and you can pinpoint, like, decisions or areas of where things have gone wrong. But let's also look at the big guns, the Storm, the Roosters, the Panthers, the Raiders, the Souths. You can look really closely at those clubs, and they've done a lot of things right. They've got great coaches, great culture, great development. People might, you know, question recruitment or if they've got advantages in that area or salary cap, sure. But the point is, these clubs have done outstanding work. They're up where they are for a reason. And basically, I just think this kind of stuff ebbs and flows, and that's the nature of any sport. No matter how level of a playing field you try and make it, there's always going to be good teams and bad teams throughout the year. It's not all throughout this year, over the years, and there's not necessarily an easy fix to it. I mean, here's a suggestion. Let me know what you guys think about this. I've thought about it a little bit. The NRL could skew the schedules, I suppose. The teams play 24 games each year, but there's only 15 other opponents. So there's 9 opponents that you do play twice. So it's not an exact level schedule anyway, because some teams you only play once, some you play twice. So what if the NRL skewed it and made all the top sides play each other twice and only got one game against the lower sides, and then inverse, let the bottom sides all play each other twice? It would mean you'd get more close games and more good games in theory throughout a year. But then again, you're basically being punished for finishing higher on the ladder the previous season. So in a sense, it would mean it would be slightly unfair that the teams that did better last year would have a tougher schedule the following year. So not sure if that would be the solution. I don't know exactly what the best solution is, but let's move to the matches themselves for round five. And we start with the Thursday night match in Sydney. The Rabbitohs host the Broncos, another one of these really high spread games. The line is 20.5. Cody Walker is suspended for the Rabbitohs, but you've got the luxury of Benji Marshall to slot straight in. For the Broncos, Farnworth injured and Carrigan is suspended. And my first instinct is, like, I think this Rabbitohs side is stronger than the Melbourne team last week that was missing 3 rep players. And we got 20.5 with Brisbane last week, but now you're playing an even tougher task. You're away from home again. And Brisbane, if anything, has given us even less confidence in them, because they've shown us we can't trust them to compete for 80 minutes against a good team. So I don't want any part of Brisbane this week. You know, it's funny, this game also reminds me that about a year ago, the Rabbitohs played the Broncos in round two. We gave out the Rabbitohs a couple of best bets on them as an underdog in Brisbane. And I think Katoni Staggs had a hat-trick.
Brisbane won the game by 4 points. And I remember copping so much grief for going against Brisbane with the Rabbitohs. Can you believe? Well, I'll take it to my grave that I was on the right side of that one, but just didn't get the result. Look at the difference between these sides now. You know what you're going to get out of Souths? Such a classy side and a complete team. And it's just a question to me is whether Brisbane can go with them and how much of a dig Brisbane's going to have. I don't really want to go against the Broncos after having two best bets on them last week because I just know how that goes. When a team doesn't show up when you need them, then you bet against them next week. That's when they do put up a big performance. But I could easily also see this being a blowout. You could argue that Benji in for Cody Walker makes Souths less dynamic in attack, but maybe more controlling. But I could also see Souths, you know, just going with Brisbane early, but slowly strangling them and kind of death by a thousand cuts for Brisbane. As we saw against the Bulldogs last week, where Souths only scored one try in the first half hour, but then ended up winning 38-0. So I'll stay away from that game because it all just depends on kind of the attitude Brisbane comes in with. We have Warriors hosting Manly in Gosford. As you know, I've got two best bets, Manly plus 7.5 at $2 and the New Zealand Warriors team total under 24.5 at $1.85. So Fanua Blake out, Sirenin and Afoa all out, all forwards out for the Warriors. Manly has lost Moses Sully and Morgan Boyle and they do not have Tom Turbo back when they had hoped. He may be right, he's not good to go yet. And the first thing that stood out to me was what I mentioned, that massive layoff disparity. You got a Manly team that's been highly criticised, that gets a full 8-day preparation versus a 5-day prep for New Zealand. That really is a considerable advantage, I believe. I think New Zealand got handed a reality check playing a Roosters side that you would have said was vulnerable when you consider all the guys that were out for the Roosters last week. And I think a lot of people thought New Zealand could get an upset there, and they never really looked like they had a chance. I know they scored maybe the first try or first two of the first three tries, but I never really felt too worried that the Warriors could win that game. What the Warriors have done this year, which is really interesting, is they've got the highest completion rate of any team in the comp. So that does suit playing lower sides because they don't beat themselves. They make it hard for their opponent. But in a way, it also suits playing their team total under because I think it's a little bit less frills in attack than Warriors teams in the past. They've only had one big score this year, and that was when they got all those late points against a Raiders side that was just hanging on for dear life. So in general, as I spoke about before with the Warriors, missing Harris Tevita as well, apart from Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, they don't terrify me in attack. And I don't think that the Seagulls are that much worse than Manly across the park. Now, I've given out my reasoning why I like to take the points and play the New Zealand team. And the last thing I'll say on this game is you might not have the same confidence in me as me in Manly, but if you're looking at doing a head-to-head multi with a bunch of favourites, as a lot of people will this week, and you think the Warriors are an easy winner, I'm suggesting it may not be an easy winner. Personally, I'd leave them out of this one because I think even if Manly doesn't win, it could be a close game. Let's move to Friday night, which is a game I hope will be close. And while I don't have a best bet, we have Panthers at home to the Raiders, and the line is -7.5. to Penrith, and Penrith comes in unchanged, and they've been destroying everybody this year in the game where they didn't blow out their opponent was against the Storm, and we know how that one ended. They were on the right side of the ledger, albeit only by a couple of blades of grass. Like, they're still missing Coruscant, which is a big out, but Mitch Kenny's done a really strong job for them, hooker, and of course, Dylan Edwards is out also, but I don't even know if I downgrade them, honestly, when you consider that they get the luxury of moving Stephen Crichton to fullback and Matt Burton playing left center. Hardly feels like they lose anything, such as their depth. Now, for the Raiders, Joe Tappané comes back into the side and strengthens that forward pack that really stood up last week, getting that win against the Titans where they beat them by 16 points. The way I see this game is that I think the Panthers' ceiling is higher than anybody else's. I think they can get to a level higher than anyone else in the comp. That's why I picked them to win the competition before the year. Whereas the Raiders, I don't see them necessarily getting to the same gear that Penrith can, but they're a very deep roster. They're very tough. They'll come at you all day. Then they're so hard to beat, and they'll beat anybody who's off their game. So what it comes down to is what level, I guess, Penrith's going to be in this one. And it's hard to predict, and I think that the Raiders will make them earn everything. But this Penrith team just has so much confidence, so much momentum. If you take out a terrible first half in the grand final, I mean, you're talking about a 20-plus game win streak, and they're doing it both sides of the ball. They're aggressive defensively, really sound defensively, and scary in attack. I would love to see this game be close. I just can't be sure that it will be. If you like the Raiders and you think that they could go close, pull an upset or cover this line, the line being 7.5, I would actually suggest look at playing a Raiders an either team 1-12 type of market, because I really couldn't see Canberra winning this 13+, and you'd basically be turning a Raiders plus 7.5 line into plus 12.5. Could be a good way to get at this game. Moving on to the Titans, that's how I, as an example, what I did with the Dragons against the Knights last week. And speaking of the Knights, they are on the Gold Coast, so this game is able to be played in Queensland for the Titans, and they're an 8.5-point home favourite, the Titans. And the way I'm getting at this game is how I described with the no try before 7.5 minutes. So that's how long we've got to sweat if you are going to ride that one with me. Next best you can play are no try after 8 minutes, still $1.86 on Sportsbet. You're going to have to sweat an extra 30 seconds. I still think it's a solid way to get at this game. Brian Kelly is back. Fogarty's been named, so that quad injury maybe not too bad. They said could have just been a cork. Ash Taylor is in the reserves to come back from injury, possibly. So it's unsure whether or not the Titans are going to have two healthy halves and who they're going to be for sure. They also lose Anthony Don. Now the Knights get back Ponga. They lose Pierce, Hoy, and Mann. Connor Watson moves to six, and Blake Green plays halfback. Clemmer has been named, but he does have a knee injury. Look, it is a luxury to have Green, and for sure they're glad to have Ponga at a time like now. They do need him. But I still feel like the Knights have excuses coming to this game, whereas the Titans really don't. And while I was tempted to take the points with the Knights, and I was kind of tempted to play an unders, as I talked about, both these teams are good defensively, but they're both missing, or they're not, they don't scare you so much with their outside backs. I just don't know if like Clemmer is injured, and if the Titans really do start to make a bit of a mess of them in the middle, the Titans could run away with it. So of course Ponga back means there could be some points for the Knights through him, and Brimson always scares you. But when each team only has kind of one real big weapon, I feel like a good defense can key in on how to stop that guy. And I also think that, as I said at the start, those guys kind of probe and can take advantage of tired defenders. You don't necessarily get that in the first 7.5 minutes. I really think that after making a lot of errors in previous weeks, they want to minimize that. They'll be conservative. Play and lack of continuity in the spines and halves of these sides also lends itself to less scoring. So a lot of elements lining up there for me to take a market in no try first 7.5, where it's generally 50-50 if there's a try in the first 8 minutes. We gain a little 30 seconds there. It's all significant little edges that I try and find, and that's a different way to get at this best bet. While I do also lean to the Knights and to under, I feel actually more strongly in that way to play it, just in case there's a late blowout that kind of skews the points to the Titans. Now that's four games down. Let's check in with Tristan from TopSport for the Market Watch. He's got some bookie perspectives on that Titans-Knights game as well, and also some thoughts on the historically high line for Bulldog Storm, which will be the next game I break down.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've got an interesting week of footy coming up. Obviously, last week there were a number of lopsided games and a lopsided betting. We haven't got a lot of close betting games this weekend either, unfortunately, but at least most of the markets are under that 10-point handicap. We've got two very, very lopsided games, the Souths at 21.5, and the Bulldogs one in particular against the Storm is 27.5. That's been the best bet game so far this weekend. The Storm's gone from 24.5 out to 27.5. This is one of the biggest lines we've seen in recent memory, particularly this time of the year. You sometimes get lines of that sort of magnitude at the end of the season, but in round five, to have a 27.5-point line is very surprising and a little bit concerning, to tell you the truth. These markets are an interesting one from a betting proposition. We found over the early parts of the weekend last weekend, where we had the 320-plus lines, the same-game multis were really heavily backed. There were a lot of any-time try scorers put into the line and into the 13-plus and these sort of markets. So we'd expect that again. The Storm are $1.03. Probably a little bit too short for people to touch on that head-to-head, although people do tend to throw them into their multis. The half-time full-times are a popular betting proposition on these games as well. The best betting game so far this weekend has been the Titans against the Knights. The line opened at 7.5. There's a lot of doubt over plenty of Knights players. There's doubt over Jamal Fogarty. There's doubt over Ash Taylor. Kalen Ponga's come into the side. So We've gone 7.5 we opened, out to 10.5 when Ponga got named. It came back into 8.5, and now we've seen a little bit of push for the Titans again out to 9.5. So very interesting betting game. I think there's still plenty of movement left in that match with some players still in doubt, and obviously Ash Taylor being key on the extended bench at 21. Good luck for everyone having a bet over the weekend, and remember to gamble responsibly.
That was Market Watch with Tristan. Now we move to the later Saturday game. It's the Bulldogs hosting the Storm, and the line is 27.5. I don't need to tell you who's favoured in that one, but I do have a best bet. As you know, Dogs over 0.5 points. I love getting plus money on that, $2.10, and the fact that it could even win with a penalty goal. To set the table, as I said before, with Tenny's Lesniak, Jackson, Thompson, and Avarillo all back in for the Bulldogs. The Storm get Kalfusi back off suspension and possibly Harry Grant. He's in the reserves, and his injury progress has been tracking to suggest that he could be right to play in this one, although they wouldn't have to obviously push him out there if he's not 100% ready to go. Now, look, regarding the line itself, like, I'm not going to tell you anything different other than the Storm should smoke the Bulldogs here. I wouldn't be rushing to play. The line is too high for me to play the Storm. With those guys that are back for the Dogs, I'm not interested in laying the points with the Storm. So the question for me was, would I take the points with the Dogs? I'm in no rush. I think this line's just going to keep climbing, because I think only thing people are going to want is to lay those points with the Storm. And while if it gets to 28.5, which it easily could in a couple of days, that is a ton of points. But as we saw last week in multiple games, it's not enough points if one quality side just starts bulldozing. And certainly the Storm could do that. But I'm willing to bet the Doggies will score one, maybe even a couple of tries in this game. I just don't know if that would be enough to cover or not. So that's why I'm getting at this. Just simply take the Storm out of the equation. Dogs to score at least a point, even a field goal or a two-point field goal in the first half would do. That's how I'm playing this one for my best bet. Move to the latest games on Saturday night. The Roosters host the Sharks, both off good wins last week. And the Roosters are a 7.5-point favourite. They come in unchanged. Sam Walker was impressive. I talked a bit about my takeaways from that game in the recap. The Sharks, after a big win last week against the Cowboys, regained Jesse Ramien as well. And I think the bookies have got this line about right. I think that the Sharks are a tougher side than the Warriors. So I think the Sharks could make this game ugly and present a challenge to the Roosters. They are my slight lean, but again, you don't get a lot of value betting on a team that's just coming off a 40-point win. So the Roosters, you know, I think the Sharks are looking at them going, you know, an 18-year-old and Drew Hutchison in the halves, we can handle them, we can give them some problems. Whereas the Roosters are still, you know, trying to revitalize their season after being written off and potentially prove a point. So I could see a Roosters comfortable win, but I could also see the Sharks springing an upset. So I don't have a lot of confidence in either direction with the line, so I'm happy to pass the game. Moving to Sunday, the Tigers host the Cowboys and the line is -9.5 to West. Kapoa is out, so Mbai shifts to the centres and that brings Cheekham to the bench. Cowboys get a massive inclusion. Jason Taumalolo is back from broken hand. And I can't play the Tigers against a winless Cowboys team that gets Taumalolo back with the line being as high as it is. I do think, as you guys won't be surprised to hear this, I do think the Tigers are underrated. I think last week, if you didn't catch it against the Eels, yeah, they lost by 14. That game was a lot closer than that. They were within two and could have won with like 5 or 6 minutes left. And if you saw the end of the game, it was absolutely cruel. And thank goodness I didn't have a best bet on Tigers plus 10.5. I don't know if my heart could have taken that finish. So I would actually lean to the Cowboys and the points. I was looking around, to be honest, if I could have got 10.5 with the Cowboys, probably would have had to play them here, but I couldn't find 10.5. And you have to be a little bit wary of the mental state of this locker room. Like the effort has been really concerning, and maybe Taumalolo will lift them, but how can you be confident? You need to have some confidence the team is going to rip in. I, like, for example, have more confidence in the mental state of the Manly locker room. I still think they've got promise and belief, and they know Turbo's coming in down the track and it's a long season. Whereas Cowboys, how do they handle adversity? We'll find out in this game, but I'm not sure. So unless this line leaks out to double digits and forces my hand, but like last week, I actually thought the value might be with the Cowboys against the Sharks. but the line wasn't big enough to force my hand, and thank goodness, because they were down 36-6 at halftime. So again, I'm staying away, but I do have a best bet to cap the round with the Eels at Wankbest Stadium, hosting the Dragons. Line is 9.5, and that's exactly what I'm betting. Eels -9.5 everywhere. Best price $1.91. Ryan Madison is back for real this time after he was named last week, but then didn't end up playing. Jack Bird returns at centre for the Dragons. And I explained at the top that I just think the Eels should be too much for the Dragons to handle. And I think people are starting to get a little bit too excited about a Dragons side. Haven't we seen them start seasons really well in the past and fizzle out? And I'm not saying they're going to suddenly nosedive, but I think they've played some soft opponents in the last 3 weeks that's helped them obviously win three on the trot. This Eels side is a different animal, and I think this could be the kind of game where the Eels show what they're made of and actually kind of make a statement win, because across the park, I think the Eels are the better side here. Pretty much as simple as that. And to piggyback on that, you haven't heard my mixed matchup yet. That's because it involves this game. So it is going to be Parramatta to outscore somebody else playing in round 5. And we've used Parramatta before. In round 3, we had Parramatta outscoring the Bulldogs 28-0. This round, I'm going to take Parramatta to outscore the Warriors. Makes sense, right? Because I'm betting on the Warriors team total under, and I'm betting against the Warriors on Friday against Manly. So my logic is there that I think Manly's going to be desperate and keep it to at least a tight game and not let the Warriors score a heap of points. And we're getting $2.25 that the Eels will score more than the Warriors when the Eels game takes place on Sunday night. That's on Top Sport, and you can have up to $200 on that. If you need a Top Sport account, you can use the promo code TRIPOD. And both these teams are predicted to score right around 24 points. So we're getting $2.25 that the Eels score more than the Warriors. It would be a loss if they score the same number of points that did happen in round 2 this year, where we bet against the Warriors. So that's the risk we take, but I like it at $2.25. We've won the last couple of weeks without even sweating. But good luck if you jump on any of the plays. Please let me know your feedback, your thoughts, anything you disagree with that I've shared on the games, or any other key factors or points or insights you have. And remember that in the long run with punting, it's very hard to win and it is very easy to lose. So as always, please gamble responsibly. Lego.